Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman, the experts in soundbars, making it easier than ever before to find the right solution.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, as you know, I saw a lot of cricket over the summer.
You have been a very, very busy boy.
I've seen that much cricket and it gets no more exciting.
Well, you know what I love about the man that you're about to introduce? And I won't say his real name. I'll just talk about his nickname. And it says a lot about the athlete, about the names they get given. And he's called The Big Show.
And he hates it.
The Big Show.
Now,
he hates it. I had The King. People just call you Howie. So what does that say?
Well, all I'll tell you is the man I was about to introduce hates the nickname that you've just brought up. This is Glenn Maxwell joins us. Hello, Glenn.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Bit of a dodgy start to the interview. How do you feel about that nickname?
Oh, well, it is pretty clear how I feel about it, but it's not that I'm going to dodge too soon. So
It is embarrassing, though, Glenn, isn't it? Because I get embarrassed when people say The King.
Sure you do.
Mike Sheen was the one that started it. But it is. It's embarrassing because you don't see yourself in that way. And that's why I thought it'd be a good way to start the interview. So you're seriously embarrassed by that nickname?
Yeah, I am. Extremely. But it's pretty funny when you mention it because John Holland in the Vicks calls himself The King, so it's, which is quite funny, which is why he's number 18 as well. So he's actually stole his nickname off you.
Oh, and he wears the number. Maxie, what I was going to say is all the cricket I see, it's always exciting when we roll up and we know you're playing, whether you got the bat or the ball in hand. It was another very big summer for Australia, for the Melbourne Stars, and for you found some pretty good form.
Yeah, I felt like I had a really good summer, which is... It's nice to look back and have so many good memories of how my own summer went and the teams I played in as well, with the Melbourne Stars obviously performing so well this year and making the final and Australia having a really successful summer as well. So it was nice to be a part of that and nice to actually contribute how I felt the whole way through the summer as well.
Well, now that we've known one another for about 30 seconds, Maxie, I want to say the World Cup final at the MCG must have been the highlight of your career.
Yeah, comfortably. I don't think I can go past that. And, even looking back at it, I've watched the highlights of that final so many times. And just the fact that we're all running on the ground probably shows how special it is. It's not something we're accustomed to doing and just probably shows how special it was to the whole group. And seeing it celebrate out there in the middle of the ground was outstanding. I've still got some great memories of post-match there, and that they'll live with me forever.
Glenn, how do you continually get yourself up? You did very well in the Red Bull game last week, a couple of plus 50 scores, and the Vicks are absolutely flying. Then you're playing one days for Australia, T20s for Australia. Then you've got the Melbourne Stars. There's so much cricket to be played. Do you have to, at some stage, just take it easy and give yourself a bit of a spell?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't really get that option.
No.
It'd be nice to have a break every now and then and sort of just get away from the game for a little bit. But unfortunately, with the way the schedule is these days, you don't really have probably 2 weeks in a row where you're not playing cricket. And I think that's probably why people are making tough decisions whether they go over to England and play county cricket or over the off season and make sure they're still playing. But I think it was a pretty easy decision for myself this year to not go over and just try and find a break in the schedule somewhere where I could get away from the game.
Plenty more to come from Glenn Maxwell, including love and money. That's Mark Howard, Wayne Carey with Maxie on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. We've had Glenn Maxwell on the line and he's still with us.
What's the hardest thing about modern day cricket? Is it the fact that you've got to go from T20 to one days to the longer form of the game? Is that the hardest thing to adapt to?
I don't think it's so much that. I think it's more the scheduling of when these things are and probably trying to find the right balance about getting ready for major tournaments and also still staying in the moment and staying in the series that you're currently in. I think with the recent one day series against New Zealand, it was tough work to try and prepare for a T20 World Cup when you've got a three-game window in 6 days straight after a T20 series against India. And I think a few of the boys are still thrown around a bit by that. And to then go straight into a test series for those guys that are currently over in New Zealand was probably pretty tough work for them. And for guys like Steve Smith and David Warner who are playing most of the way through, it's pretty tough work.
Maxie, you mentioned all the cricket you're playing and the fact you're in New Zealand. I enjoy your work on social media, Duck. Maxie, you didn't have the best tour of New Zealand. You had an unbelievable year. And someone gave him a hard time saying that, you know, you went to New Zealand and you only averaged one. And Maxie straight away came back, "You are a jerk. I averaged two." I enjoyed that, Maxie. And that's the way you sort of have to approach social media, because how do you go reading it? Because I know you do, and it's not always the most positive place, Glenn, is it?
Well, I've probably made it a funnier place. I think it's something that I've probably read to a lot of the guys, some of the tweets that I get every day. Mm.
What type of stuff do you get, Glenn?
Oh, God. I get everything. Anything you can imagine, I get blokes just randomly swearing at me, blokes saying I was the worst cricketer to ever play for Victoria or Australia or whoever it is. And some of it's just plain abuse and you block them and move on. But some of it's quite funny and I can deal with that and at least find a way to reply to them. And at least make a bit of humour out of it, because I like to think that I've got a pretty thick skin and I can deal with that sort of stuff. And if you deal with it well, I think everyone probably enjoys you a little bit more.
The advent of the T20 game, it's come at a perfect time for you and the style of cricket you play. We mentioned you play for the Melbourne Stars. You're off to play in the T20 World Cup for Australia. Best of luck with that.
What'd you sell for, by the way?
In the IPL option.
IPL.
I've been retained by Kings 11 for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what I was on, sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh. It's normally fairly public, isn't it, what the players get paid?
Yeah, but they paid in like rupees. So I think it was like 6 crore or something like that.
A lot of money, Duck.
A lot of money.
And that's sort of
it was seven figures.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of money. I would have thought. That's what I was getting to. Does that blow your mind, Maxie? Because you've come up with that generation of players that now get paid extremely well, and best of luck to you. Do you ever sit there and think, wow, they're paying me over seven figures to play 7 weeks of cricket in India?
Yeah, I'm quite aware of how ridiculous that is.
It's not ridiculous, though, because that's your market value, mate. That's what you're worth.
Yeah, but it is ridiculous considering it's only 7 weeks. And I think the time span that you're involved with a team should probably show your value as well. I think that's just probably a sign of how much that country loves their cricket. And they're almost showing you their affection by giving you these price tags. And imagine if we saw something like that in the Big Bash. I think it'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? I'm just trying to hopefully get some sponsors to jump on the Big Bash there. It'd be great.
I'll tell you what, it'd be nice, seven figures in the Big Bash. Now, before we let you go, Maxie, as you know, Duck, behind any great man, there's a great woman. And Glenn's been public in the fact that he's got a beautiful relationship going with a young lady around town in Melbourne. How did you look after her for Valentine's Day, Maxie? Something special?
Well, not really. I was in Adelaide for the Shield game on Valentine's Day, so she had to fly over and see me on that day. So we had a lovely dinner together. She booked about 2 weeks in advance. She's quite organised, which is helping me out because I'm not organised, and she basically helps me sort my life out, which is amazing. She's a great girl, and it's been going really well.
She being Candace Wyatt Duck, who reads the news on Channel 10. So
and
you're
doing a very good job.
She is, alongside Quarter. So you're a big fan of the Channel 10 news now, Maxie?
Yeah, I watch a lot more news than I used to, that's for sure.
Hey, Glenn, listen, we appreciate your time. You've got so much coming up, probably for Australian fans. The main one would be the T20 World Cup in India. We wish you the best of luck in that, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good one.
Jeez. Great to speak to Glenn Maxwell, absolute superstar on the Dead Set Legends, Triple M. At football, the Sydney Swans, NAB Challenge, take on Port Adelaide. Guess who's coach?
John Longmire.
No, Jared McVay is
really?
The coach this afternoon for the Sydney Swans. And the super coach joins us on the line now. Hello, coach.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
How does that sit with you, super coach?
Not great. Not great at all. Ideally, I wouldn't be doing it, and I'm out there playing, but... Yeah, normally hydrating up now, but now I'm looking at a whiteboard with all name tags trying to figure out what to do.
Jared, what's the idea behind it? Is it obviously you have ambitions after you finish playing to go into coaching, but is there an idea behind it?
Yeah, look, I've thought about that, Duck, but not really. You know, at this point it's more about playing, but, you know, just you know, we're trying to put our players in uncomfortable positions to be comfortable. You know, that's been the theme of our pre-season. So just trying to, you know, the coaches will be, you know, listening to me and see what I'm seeing out on the field and if that correlates to what they're seeing and how I can get that across to the boys on the field. So a few of the boys playing will kind of be assistant coaches out there and I can go to them and filter information through to them and then they can do it to the rest of the team. So that's what it's all about, just trying to improve our leadership and you know, the way we, I guess, teach the game plan and see things on the run.
So were you old enough, did you get coached by Rodney Eade at all?
He left my first year. I had Roosie. He left the year before I arrived.
Right. So which coach are you going to be like? Any sprays today? Anything like that?
Well, they are my teammates. They're my mates.
Yeah.
No, I think it's you know it's probably important to stay calm in there and yeah. And you know have a clear head. So that's you know the way I'll be approaching it. But obviously the coaches are in there to help me anyway. You know I'm not going to be flying in there on my own, so they'll be all there to help me and guide me through.
Unfortunately, Jared, you'd failed your first test in coaching by speaking to ours and answering three questions and not using the word structure or process.
Well, sometimes you've got to throw that out the window, don't you?
Well, you're going away from the structures and processes by not using the word structures and processes.
Well, I might say that to the boys, but look, we've obviously, you know, got guys like Buck just play on instinct, so, you know, you've got to give those guys a bit of free rein to show their stuff, I guess.
Hey, what has been the main focus for the Swans this year? Has there been a tweak in how you want to go about playing? Obviously, you know, you missed one of your main targets in the forward line last year during the finals in Buddy. He's back fit and well, which is great for the Swans. But what's been the main focus?
Yeah, look, I think we do a lot of things well. I mean, you know, we haven't been too far off and we believe we do a lot of stuff right. But I think for us, and it's always probably been the case for us, is our ball use going forward. You know, we can move the ball pretty well, but just those last kicks, I guess, which are the hardest kicks to get inside 50 and take use of how good our forward line are. So that's probably been our main focus, our ball movement and the way we move it. So that's been a huge focus for us this pre-season and our skill work under fatigue. So hopefully tonight the boys, you know, can really get a handle on that and you know, start off the season in a good way.
Talking about your forward line, Kurt Tippett just got announced that he triggered a clause in his contract, so that can be extended now. So he'll play out his career at the Swans, which is great news. I've been a little bit of a critic of Kurt when he plays predominantly forward. I just thought he's at times struggled to get off his opponent, but he proved a lot of critics wrong towards the end of last year. I thought his last sort of, I don't know, eight games or so were really good when he played ruck forward. What do you think? And do you think that will be his role this year?
Yeah, look, I completely agree with you. Yeah, look, he did struggle and, you know, early on last year, and he put so much pressure on himself, Tippo, and, you know, he does everything right off field and you just couldn't correlate that into playing, you know, outstanding footy. But definitely the second half of the year, he turned a corner and, you know, I was more relaxed about things. You know, Tipper actually lives above me in my apartment building, so he might be able to hear me. I'm on the balcony. But he,
hey, there's a bit of above you. That's because he's on about a million and a half a year, Jared.
Nah, well, he bought my house. Look, his back end of the year was fantastic. And he was a lot more relaxed the way he's going about things. But he'll definitely, you know, play in the ruck a lot more. I think he gets a lot of confidence from playing in the ruck and getting around the ball. And then when he gets forward, you know, he's touched the footy a few times. You know, he's around the ball and, you know, I think he can get a bit stale up forward if you're down there the whole time. So definitely with Cal Sinclair coming in, we've got two guys that can catch it as ruckman and definitely run around the ground.
We're speaking to Jared McVeigh, the coach of the Sydney Football Club. I think it sounds very
sound
nice.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah, no, I think it sounds very nice. Structures, processes. Hey, there's so much goodwill amongst all footy fans to the Big Buddy factor and how he's going. And physically, seen the pictures in the paper, seen a few clips, look like he's running around really, really well. It must be exciting for the footy club and for the big fella to be back out there with his mates, if nothing else.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we really did miss him last year and, you know, you want your best players playing, but we understand, you know, the reasons behind it. And, you know, I think it's good for him personally just to be out there training again and playing. And, you know, since he's been at the Swans, this has definitely been his best pre-season. He hadn't trained much previously, but, he's looking good, played well in the intra-club last week and then hopefully another one you know, another good one tonight. So we're all pleased to see him back out there and hopefully kicking a few goals.
Hey, Coach, we really appreciate your time. I look forward to seeing the Swans in action and also the post-match press conference to see what type of language you bring to the table.
Good on you, Jared.
Well, I will mention structure for you.
There you go. Thanks, good on mate. You, Jared. Good luck this afternoon. Great to speak to Jared McVeigh.
Dead Set Legends, thanks to Harvey Norman, Wayne Carey, Mark Howard. Now, Howie, it's been a big summer.
Oh, yes.
We've both been very busy. Mm. No, that's a lie. I haven't been
You've been working on your suntan.
But you, you've done just about everything other than bob up in my soup. You've you've done the Big Bash and then you've been to Dubai.
Mm.
I mean, it's been a massive summer for you.
It has. The Big Bash was fantastic. It was a great competition. Lots of people were watching, which is fantastic. And then got the opportunity off the back of the Big Bash to go and commentate on a Masters Champions tournament in Dubai, which was a series of players that are currently still playing and then guys that have retired. So Brian Lara was playing, Adam Gilchrist was playing, Virender Sehwag, Graham Smith, some really, really big names. So, Duck, it's going to be hard to do this segment without dropping names, but you'd go to breakfast and, you know, I had breakfast with Kumar Sangakkara, with Murali. Graham Smith, these guys, just Darren Goff, superstars of the game.
And how did that come about? How do you go from Big Bash to then getting the gig over in Dubai?
Well, some fella from the UK was watching the Big Bash. I was stunned by how many people watch the Big Bash overseas, the South Africans and the English. It's on a perfect time in the morning. Yep. And a guy that was putting on the tournament was watching the Big Bash. And I think he tried to get Ricky to go and work. And Ricky was busy. And Gilly was asking too much. And Junior was busy. So I think they ended up with me. But no, it was fantastic. The cricket was really good. Brett Lee was playing. Brett Lee, at his age, was still bowling at more than 140 kilometres an hour. So it was extraordinary to watch.
He looks after himself, though.
Yeah, he does. He's in good nick. In Dubai, Duck, yep. $18 for a pot in the hotel.
Wow.
So pretty exy.
So you didn't drink?
No. I had half a pot and that blew my wages.
Talking about not drinking, I did see a photo of you on social media and Twitter.
Mm.
And we know that you've become sort of fairly friendly with KP.
Mm.
And he was smoking something. Like a big puff of smoke.
Well, those big shisha pipes. Kev said, let's go out for just a quiet dinner. Kev's idea of a quiet dinner and my idea. Well,
fair to say he was shouting.
Yeah, he was shouting. It was like Entourage and I was Turtle, I must admit. There's no doubt about that. Graham Smith was sort of Johnny Drama, I would have thought. KP was Vinny. But no, Kev looked after us. But they have those shisha pipes there. And I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. And you have a couple of puffs, and I got a little bit lightheaded, to be honest. And they told me afterwards, having one of those is like having 40 smokes. So best thing to be doing.
Why would you do that?
Well, when in Dubai.
Come on, you've got to have a story. You're hanging out with all these guys.
Well, surprisingly, there's waves in Dubai. There are waves. So guess who I went surfing with? This is a name drop. This is my favourite part of the trip. There are waves in Dubai. It's bizarre, though, because you go surfing in your boardies, and it's obviously an Arabic nation, a Muslim nation.
Self-made waves, obviously.
No, there's waves in the ocean. I was surfing in the Arabian Sea. I kid you not. But you're on going surfing in your boardies with just your boardies on, and there are ladies walking along the beach with a full burqa, head to toe covered. You can't even see their eyes. So it's really strange. You jump out of the water, and I went to get in the back of the car and didn't have a shirt on, and one of the locals said, listen, you can't go in the car without your shirt on. So it's a bizarre setup like that. I've got an exclusive for you, though.
Yep.
I got an exclusive. Well, did I tell you who I went surfing with? I didn't. Jonty Rhodes. I went surfing with Jonty Rhodes.
The
world's greatest fieldsman. Great man.
Absolutely.
Great man. And can surf. I've got an exclusive for you. Shane Watson went in the IPL auction, made headlines everywhere for $2 million.
Got injured.
He's injured, but he'd be right to go for the IPL.
Okay.
$2 million. He's playing for a team over there, RCB. It's extraordinary.
But he's a bloke that was, you know, people were saying were pretty much finished.
Yep.
You know, in the last year. Gone. Done.
Now he's getting paid $2 million for 7 weeks.
Unreal. Good on him.
From what I can gather, his team went into the IPL auction and were prepared to pay, if others kept bidding, Watson went for $2 million. Mm. His team were prepared to... Shane Watson has been twice the player of the IPL, so he's a superstar.
Yeah.
Went for $2 million. They were prepared to bid for Shane Watson up to $4 million.
That's incredible.
So they got him cheap.
Well, I'll tell you what he knows now. And if he didn't know, hopefully he's listening to this show next year.
He's probably not aware of that
next
fact,
year,
to be honest.
Well, you probably should tell him. That'd be the right thing to do. Because
he's probably sitting home
you
on
just
his couch,
have a couple of dummy bidders. Like most of the auctioneers around,
extraordinary. So he could have gone for $4 million for 7 weeks' work. Well, the Kiwis have lost a wicket. Latham is out. Court Smith bowled Jackson Bird. They are now 2 for 23, and that's all courtesy. We'll get some highlights of that. That's courtesy of Fox Sports. Next, though, we need to speak to the great man Rusty. He's worth $4 million with all the latest motorsport news, thanks to HSV's Generation F Runout. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, $4 million for Watto. Can you believe it?
That's great.
Wow, dead set legends. Triple M. Mob, the Kangaroos, more than 30,000 members on board. There's never been a better time to embrace the Shinboner spirit and become a North Melbourne member. Jump on now, head to nmfc.com.au or phone 1300 Kangas. They're playing today. I like the way the NAB Challenge moves around the country.
You know what? It's great because it gives all the country people, country kids that wouldn't normally get the opportunity to see their heroes and stars up close, get them, you know, they just love going out, and there'll be plenty that roll up at Wangaratta today.
Well, the Norm Minns Oval kicks off at 2:05 p.m. The Kangaroos versus the Saints.
Do you know who Normie Minns is, Howie?
Oh, Minzy.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Neither do I.
Right. Anyway, I know who Michael Frito is. He's on the line from the Kangas. Hello, Mike.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very good.
Well, driving up at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, on our way up. We've got Jared Waits at the wheel, so I'm on my back. Got Robbie Tarrant, Scotty Thompson here. The boys wanted to mention, so I got him in early.
Very good.
On our way up.
You've been enjoying the show over the last hour, no doubt. You've been listening?
Yeah, I've been tuning in. Good show, boys.
Okay, who was on in the first hour then?
Yeah, no, it's been a ripper.
I would have thought all the old boys would have driven up last night. Save the back.
Yeah. Save the back and the legs. But, I reckon we'll be a bit tight when we get there. We just had a pit stop in Seymour to stretch the old limbs out.
But, couple of pies, big M.
We're okay.
How is the body, and how are you approaching today? I thought I heard Brad Scott a couple of weeks ago say that he wanted to take this competition reasonably serious, and the reason for that is because the Kangaroos, for as long as I can remember, over the last 3, 4, 5 years, have been slow starters.
Yeah, we certainly have. We haven't won a round one game under Brad Scott, so notoriously slow starters. So we've got a fair squad going up today. Only a couple of regular senior players aren't playing, but most of the boys are out. We're ready to go. It's been a long, hard summer, and looking forward to the first game. Kind of amounts of work, but no doubt we'll still be, our tongues will be out, I reckon, early in the game. We always seem to be out of breath.
Now, Michael, it'd be fair to say yourself and Drew Petrie and Boomer and all of those guys, more than likely playing there last year. So it's a good squad, but you really need a few guys to step up. And I'm talking about Dumont, I'm talking about Turner, these types of guys that on the fringe have played a little bit of footy, but have some real ability. If those guys can really improve and you get a little bit more out of them and obviously have more rotations, it's going to be massive for the Kangas.
Yeah, definitely. All those players, they've all had good pre-season as you spoke of, and for them to take the next step will be really massive for us. So we think the squad's got a fair bit of depth, it'll take the whole squad to get to where we want to be. We've seen Hawthorn has dominated the last, 5 years pretty much, the last three flags, but they've been there about even before that. So it's taken a squad of 45 to do it. So we think we've got that, but our time's now, and we're looking to get off to a good start today.
Now, Spud, you've had a wonderful career. It'd be fair to say probably a year and a half ago you were staring down the barrel a little bit. You've come back very strong, a great season last year. How did you turn it round to go from a fellow that was, oh, crikey, is he going to get wound up, to a bloke that's once again an integral part of the team, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was much all over for me there a couple of years back. I guess in this day and age, when you're not 100% or when you're not close to it, it's pretty hard to get found out. And that was the case for me. I had a few niggling little injuries. But our medical staff and physios and strength and conditioning team have been great for me. We tried a bit of a different tack with my training and the way I look after my body. It's been dividends for me personally.
Now, mate, I know the Hume like the back of my hand because it's on the way to Wagga, and you're just sort of cutting in and out a little bit there. I reckon you're in between Euroa and Wangaratta. Where are you?
Yeah, we are, Duck. I don't know this area that well, but we're between Wangaratta and, where'd you say?
Euroa.
Euroa. Yeah, we are. You've nailed it, Dan. sorry, boys. I was saying some interesting stuff there.
No, no, you were. Just as we let you go, how is the club going to handle the Brent Harvey situation this year? Obviously, if all goes to plan, he plays every game. At the end of the season, when you hold up the Premiership Cup, he'll not only be a Premiership player once again, but he will have played the most games in the history of the competition. It'll be a really interesting one for the footy club.
Yeah, it will be. We're really lucky, I guess, because he's an absolute marvel. And, touch wood, barring injury, he'll break that record because, he doesn't miss a session. He trains like, a 22-year-old, and his body's been really good. He looks after it really well too. So, hopefully the whole footy world gets around him and we'll see him break the record. Fingers crossed we get to witness that, and a premiership would be an ideal, who knows if he's going to go out, but it'll be an ideal, end towards his career.
Hey, just quickly to finish, how's Jed Anderson travelling?
Oh,
is he super fit? And I also want to know, second part of that is the man in the car with you, Robbie Tazza Tarrant. How's his pre-season been? Are those arms any bigger?
both boys are going really well. Jed's trained really well, done some really exciting things in our intra-club games, but we look forward to seeing him get out there today against genuine opposition. And Taz, sitting next to me here, he's got the biggest arms in the car, that's for sure. But his body's holding up really well too. So, he's pretty important to someone as big as he is. He runs really well and super strong too. So, look forward to big things from him this year.
Spud, we really appreciate your time. We appreciate that you've been watching and listening to the show from 9 o'clock.
Not watching, it's a radio show, Howie.
And listening, we should be online. We should be online. Hey, thanks for having a chat with us, mate, and best of luck for the Kangaroos this year.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Good luck, mate.
Great to speak to Michael Frido. 1300 Kangas or nmfc.com.au. You can get yourself a membership. McCullum, 36 off 16. Hazelwood is charging in and he's just taking two steps down the crease and belting him absolutely everywhere. The Kiwis are 3 for 70. McCullum, 36 from 16. Williams,
five from 55.
Wow, what an innings this is. Plenty to come, including Glenn Maxwell and Jared McVeigh, Mark Howe, Wayne Carey. That was Spud Friedo on the Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howe and Wayne Carey. Duck, always a risk to roll out a new segment on radio. A lot of thought went into this one. A 30-second discussion we had this morning.
It was, but a good one, a positive one.
Tell us your good news. Give us a call, 133-53, 133-53, and tell us your good news. We can start right up the top with Nick. Hello, Nico.
How you going?
Good, Nick.
New segment. You're the first person on it. Tell us your good news. What's your good news, Nick?
Good news, mate. We've put the boots back on after 14 years.
Oh, wow. After 14 years. Well, I know this is a positive segment, but I'm going to give you the bad news.
Oh, come on, Doc, don't stuff
no,
up here.
No, he's going to be very sore tomorrow.
Who are you playing for, Nick?
We're down in Geelong, one of the Super Rules team down there. They 35s and over. And, back into it. First couple of trainings last week. So
good stuff. Good. Where are you going to be playing?
Mate, hopefully off the bench. I'm not sure.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate your time.
Good
Thanks
you,
for giving
Nick.
Us a call, mate. That is good news. Greg in Bentley. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good. Tell us your good news, Greg.
Well, I went down to the pop-up bar down in the Kingston Town Hall last night and caught up with a shitload of mates from Phillip Island.
Yep.
Old surfing mates. I haven't seen it for about 16 years and stuff. And
mate, how good is it, Greg, when you can not see really good mates for a long time and then you catch up with them and it's like you haven't missed a beat? That is a really good mate.
That's exactly what you're talking about. Like, walked in last night. Oh, boys, how are we? Let's get drunk.
Good on you,
That's
Greg.
That's good news. We appreciate your time, Greg. Donna, welcome to Dead Set Legends. Hello, Donna.
Hello, how are you?
Donna, tell us your good news.
I recently got engaged.
Oh,
that's
beautiful,
Donna.
So
this is what we this is what we're doing the segment for.
How did it go down, Donna?
Well, we went on a holiday to Albury to my sister's house, and he proposed to me right on the Hume River.
On
the Murray River?
No, the Hume.
Oh, the Hume.
Lake Hume it was.
Okay. Was the sun going down? Did he have the ring all ready to go, Donna?
Yeah, he did. The sun was already down. Was evening. So it was not long after he rocked up there. It was on my birthday, actually.
That is good news. When are you getting married?
We're going to get married on Brighton Beach.
Right. When?
And when?
Yes.
November.
All right, if you need an MC, I'll come cheap for you, Donna. No dramas.
Good on you, Donna.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks for your good news. Joe is on the line. Hello, Joe.
How are you, lads?
Good, good mate. Tell us your good news.
Bit different, but for a different things for Valentine's Day, I went and adopted an ex-racing greyhound for the missus. So brought him home, and he's basically a horse with teeth. But changing a life, you know, it's always good, and it's been a week now, and he's finally starting to adjust to life just being a dog. So
Joe,
you know, it's a small effort, but makes a world of difference to a little animal.
Joe, is that the that's the Gap or Gap program?
I think he's from Gap because we did get him from Gippsland, but he was racing right up until the 27th of December last year, and then he was in a pound for a month. And just before they were going to put him down, the family that adopted his sister said, yeah, look, we'll take him on. So they had him for a couple of weeks, and then, yeah, he's come to our loving house and a loving life he's going to have as long as it lasts.
Good on you, Joe. I tell you what, greyhounds, I grew up with them. I've had them as pets. We raced them when I was a kid. Know them back to front. They're the most beautiful pet you'll ever have. They're loving. They are just gorgeous. They will lie on the couch and watch TV with you. Great job and fantastic. Good to see people that adopt, you know, whether it be an ex-greyhound or go to the, you know, pound and adopt dogs that haven't got a home. Good story.
Right on,
good
Joe.
Stuff, Joe.
I liked it. People getting engaged, people catching up with their mates. I've got some good news for you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some good news. When I was away, the big penguin, my three-year-old who is now four, mm-hmm. A good news for the big penguin. He made a major breakthrough. For the first time, I spoke to him on Skype. Dad, guess what I did today?
What?
Stand up wee.
Whoa.
First time, spoke to his mum. Spoke to his mum, sprayed it more than Travis Cloak from 20 out directly in front.
Oh,
but he's got it nailed now.
He's done the field.
For the first one, though.
That's good. He's got the little step, or has he got his own?
No, he's got his little step. Yeah. But apparently the first one, he just about painted the walls. But he's away. I think we'll do that again.
Plenty of blokes I know that are still spraying the walls.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. The Kiwis, 4-39. Duck, we've just seen something, 4-93, sorry. We've just seen something absolutely extraordinary here. While we were speaking to Glenn Maxwell, Steve Smith took an absolutely brilliant catch to get rid of the Kane Williamson, the number two batsman in the world. And then McCullum's faced up to James Pattinson. What has happened?
There was a beautiful catch taken, but it was off a no ball.
One of the best catches you'll ever see. I reckon it's happening very quickly in front of us. I reckon it's Mitch Marsh in the gully who's taken the best catch you'll ever see.
Right hand. The ball was behind him when he caught it.
And then the umpire has gone to the review and Jimmy Pattinson has overstood the mark.
That's what it's there for.
So he's not out. Night grand final. Twilight grand final. Gil McLaughlin in the paper today saying, quote, I haven't ruled it out, a Twilight Grand Final. I said it openly, there's divisions on this. I haven't ruled it out. At some point in the next 10 years, there will be a change.
I like it. I like it. I like the fact that the TV audience will be, I think, would be bigger for a night game because, you know, during Saturdays, you know, kids' sports, all sorts of stuff. So I think the viewing audience for TV would certainly be bigger for a night grand final. I think the fireworks adds a whole new dimension to it, which is great. But for anyone out there thinking that if we have a night grand final, it's going to turn into a Super Bowl type event, kidding themselves. Because AFL have already said that we don't quite have the budget that they do for the Super Bowl.
We're not getting Beyonce.
Mind you, Beyonce. Mind you.
Or her.
Mind you, the stars over there, they do it for nothing.
Mm.
They do it for the exposure. I mean, can you imagine us here next year? I mean, this year, grand final, night grand final, fireworks looking fantastic, and then Slim Dusty.
I'm not sure the guy was Slim Dusty.
Walks out with his little guitar.
Pub with no beer.
But you know what I mean? I would love to see the budget expand a little and us to go after don't get me wrong, and this is not degrading any of the previous acts because we've had some wonderful acts on grand final day. Lionel Richie, there's been plenty.
Oh, no, Ed Sheeran.
There's been lots. Tom Jones. Well, you know, we've had a lot of big stars, but I think go to a whole new level and get an international just in the moment massive, you know, Bon Jovi, someone just
Tay-Tay?
Huge. Oh, imagine Tay-Tay. Hey?
Wow.
Taylor Swift.
But can I say to you, Duck, if they have a Twilight Grand Final or a Night Grand
Final. You know what the
AFL
would say to that?
What?
We are never, ever, ever going to get TT.
You know that's the promo for the show next week, don't you?
No.
Listen, I got no problem with moving to a Twyla or a night grand final. I'm all about looking forward. But to base it around all these people saying, look at the entertainment at the Super Bowl, that's what we need. Who cares?
No.
Seriously, who cares? Move the grand final because it's going to be a better spectacle, and, but not so we can worry about who sings at halftime.
The other reason why the NFL have such fantastic entertainment and everyone raves about it is because the game's no good.
Our game is brilliant.
Our game is brilliant.
So
the entertainment is the game itself.
But correct.
But I do think we need to maybe just, you know, spend a little bit more. And because it is a part, I think that's the one thing. The one thing that our great game, our game's the best game in the world, and I absolutely love it. But I think that the entertainment around the game, the halftime, and even from week to week, Howie. Now, years ago, you had the reserves on and all that sort of stuff. But from week to week, you know, just some type of entertainment, whether it's outside, inside, I think that that's an area that can really grow our great spectacle.
Talking about night grand finals and fireworks, flares.
Yep.
At the soccer. Obviously a silly thing to do. Don't take your flares, et cetera, et cetera. It's a small minority.
You're not allowed to buy fireworks, but you're allowed to have flares. I don't get it.
It's a small minority. They shouldn't be doing it. Don't paint all the soccer players and soccer fans with the same brush because it's a small minority. However, I reckon it's unfair to put a position on the clubs, the A-League clubs, where they could lose points.
How easy is it, Howie? Now, I don't mean to put an idea into anyone's head.
I know what you're going to say.
But how easy is it for Melbourne Heart supporters to just whack on a victory jumper.
And roll in there.
Roll in there and start letting a few flares
exactly
go.
Right.
And they lose 3 points.
They're
not even Melbourne Victory supporters. They've just got to get...
They've got to stop it. They've got to stamp it out.
Yeah,
but
take points
off Archie. Kevin Muscat. Imagine if Kevin Muscat finds you're the bloke that's taken the flare in.
And that is just far too easily manipulated by, you know, anyone that wanted to
we're in agreement there.
Put a Guernsey on.
We're in agreement there.
Yep.
Can you imagine if you let a flare off, you lost the 3 points. Melbourne Victory didn't make the finals. Why? What Kevin Muscat would say to you if he found you.
Why aren't flares illegal anyway?
Well, I think they are. That's the point.
No. They are illegal.
Or to let off in soccer games,
unless you're on a boat.
That's right. But
anyone can go and buy a flare.
Well, you need to show identification. I think you meant to show that you got a boat license, etc. But I'm starting to talk about an area of which I have no understanding. So I just made that last bit up. Jared McVay will join us next. The Kiwis 4 for 108. McCullum is 54 of 37 balls. Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carrier. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is dominating the ratings on Network 10. You know why that is, Duck? Because we promoted it a lot on the Big Bash, it must be said.
Let's realise that. It's been very good. And for another reason, it's got a man on there by the name of Shane Warne.
Well, Ricky Ponting was convinced. He kept saying throughout the cricket, when they said there's a cricket, he said, mate, it's Warney, it's Warney, it's Warney. And Warney kept texting him back saying, there's no way there's enough money going to be paid by Channel 10 to get me there.
Well, they did.
Well, I think there's 2 million reasons why he's there, Ducky boy.
He's got a smoking hut. He's got also got a place where he puts his hairpiece on.
What are you talking about?
I have been out of the country,
so I'm not across all
fact.
This.
He's allowed
there's
to...
There's somewhere he can have a dart,
I actually said to mates of mine, I said, the good thing about it is Warney will be able to give up smoking. Well, in his contract, I'm led to believe, is that he's got a place where he can go and smoke. He's also... got a place where he can go and replace his hairpiece.
No, he hasn't.
He has. And also, there are to be no, in any of the dares or, you know, challenges that he has to, take up, there's to be no spiders.
No spiders?
No spiders, because that's his phobia. But he has done unbelievably well. And the reason why he's done unbelievably well is because he has certainly... not being shy. He made some comments about Steve Waugh. I don't know whether you've heard these. Have a listen to this.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons I don't like Steve Waugh.
Yeah.
A lot of reasons. Because he's the most selfish cricket I've played with.
Well, that didn't go...
That's the first time I've actually heard that.
Yeah, that's the first time. That caused a lot of ruckus, obviously, here back in Australia. And
Channel 10 would have been shattered by that.
he's spoken about Liz Hurley, his ex-fiancée.
So what is he just talking conversation? He's just chatting away and then brings these folk up?
Absolutely. And it's just in conversation. When you're in the jungle and you're sitting around all day. And,
would it not get boring?
Well, it'd get boring. They get hungry. They all sorts of things. So that's why it's now all the interesting stuff, although Warney's been interesting all the way through, it's all sort of starting to come out now. He when he first got in there after about day two, he stood up and said, okay, am I the only single one? Am I the only single one in here? And anyway, there was only one other single person, and that was the lady that used to be on Prisoner. Her name escapes me.
Bell.
Yeah. The other thing is just recently, Howie, he got bitten. Well,
I heard about this.
It was reported that he got bitten by an anaconda. Now, I was watching the episode. Now,
anacondas are from South America.
Yeah. Well, Howie, listen.
How did he get there?
I was watching it. He had to put his face into a pit of snakes.
How did the anaconda get to South Africa?
Well, probably, I don't know, slithered. So,
it's a long
so they're in a box. He had to put his face in and pull out a star. Now, I watched that particular episode, but have a listen to what Warney said when he got back to the camp to explain what he had to do in the challenge.
Oh, no, come on.
A little warning, Shane.
Yeah.
You were just in with those rats for a long period of time. They may see you as being food.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Well,
so he got attacked by a schnuckus, did
well,
he?
Well, yeah. And look, if an anaconda bit you, I'm pretty sure there would be a little bit of maybe blood or a few, because they've got a lot of very small, sharp teeth.
Mm.
And you might see a little bit of blood or, you know, a few marks. Well, Warney got back to the camp and sort of explained that he goes, oh, I think I might have sort of got bitten in a little bit on the top of my forehead. You know, like there was no mark. There was no, if it might have, you know, sort of touched him.
So he didn't get bitten.
I wouldn't say he got, well, no. And, but the reports back here the next day, I'm getting excited talking about it. Just saying that he got bitten by an anaconda. Oh, what a load of rhubarb that is. But if anything, I mean, seriously, he would, he's just been highly entertaining. I also found out that he doesn't like the F word when it's to do with a pop-off.
When
you pop off, he doesn't like you saying the F word.
He's not comfortable with that.
That just thinks, well, he thinks that certainly women shouldn't use that word. So he was a little bit.
So he's the star of the show. That's why people are watching.
He's a little bit disturbed. Oh, there's no question. He's being himself. I love Warney.
Will he win it?
I think. Well, he's got to make it to the end, because if he's not in there, then you know why would you, he's just so entertaining. Fev's been entertaining, and look, I actually don't mind it. I'm flicking between that and My Kitchen Rules, mind you. My Kitchen Rules has been awesome again, and you know how much I love my reality TV, and we'll do Duck TV next week. But he's been very entertaining, Shane Warne. That's obviously why they got him on there. He's been honest. He's been real. For anyone that either likes, hates, whatever, hates a strong word, dislikes, whatever, you can't ever deny that he is being himself.
Can I tell you a very, 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 very quick snake story?
Yep.
South America, on tour, in the back of Bolivia. I'm out in the Amazon, and old mate that's on the tour, that's leading the whole show, he said, you'd be very careful. He had a very strong Spanish accent. I'm not going to do it. Be very careful, or you could get bit by a schnuckus. And I said, a what?
A schnuckus.
A schnuckus. That was his way of calling a snake.
Oh.
Watch out for the snuckers. Plenty to come on the show. Glenn Maxwell, Jag McVeigh and War. Mark Howe, Wayne Carey, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Hello, time to chat with the absolute superstar with all the latest motorsport news. Thanks to HSV's Generation F runout. His name is Greg Rust. I've missed him over the summer. Hello, Thruster.
Rusty. Hello, boys. What about the clauses in your contract? You have the world's longest break.
Yeah, we do. Well, Duck wasn't happy with the way his suntan was going, so he said, I need another 3 weeks to top it up. How are you? How's your summer been, Thruster?
Fantastic, mate. Yeah, really good. And back into it already. Less than 2 weeks as we all talk here now to the opening round of the V8, the Clipsal 500. They've started unveiling Formula One cars overnight and testing about to get underway there. And there's been a bit of testing at Phillip Island in your neck of the woods this week too, Howie.
Yeah, Frosty, before we get to it all, I had the pleasure of having a chat with Channel 10 to Frosty yesterday, Mark Winterbottom, the V8 Supercar Champion. Guess what his wife bought him, Duck, for being the V8 Supercar Champion?
It's a great present.
A
great
brand present. New matte black Harley Davidson.
Wow, that's...
What a wife.
What a nice present.
The promise had been there, Duck, for ages too. It was a bit of a carriage. He said, if you do it, I'll buy you a Harley. And he got home from the Gala Awards at the end of last year, and there it was in the garage. Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Nice. So what's happening in the world of V8s? Lounsey was testing the V8s this week. There's a bit going up in Queensland, and the boys are all heading down to Winton, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So Winton this week, it was sweltering the conditions in Queensland Raceway a few days ago. And so Lounsey put the broken collarbone to the test. He didn't do the shakedown of the car. The doctor said, let's leave it. Let's leave the recovery right until the last minute. But he was behind the wheel for the testing. Said he didn't feel sore. On the day, he felt okay. Adelaide is obviously very bumpy and a very physical track. So we'll see how it goes there. The Dick Johnson Racing boys were fast in that test, both Scott Pye and Fabian Coulthard. And as we speak, boys, Chaz Mostert doing a bit of go-karting in Queensland. He will be back, finally, after that big Bathurst crash. He'll be back at the wheel of his Falcon this week at Winton in Victoria.
Yeah, it's great news.
Now, mate, talking about injuries, Jack Miller's been recovering from a broken leg in Townsville, but returned to the MotoGP of Phillip Island in recent days. How did the testing go?
And, Duck, he had to miss the first test in Sepang, and he was enormously frustrated by that. But he had been hanging out with mum and dad in Townsville, trying to get back and be as fit as he could. Would you believe it? Yesterday, he ended up only 0.8 of a second off Mark Marquez. So he
did have a minor fall,
but he's okay. But I reckon that's really encouraging for his return. But Marquez, it was a rain-interrupted day. Marquez ended up quickest, and Valentino Rossi fifth.
I heard from a couple of the camos that were down there shooting that he's still got a fair limp thruster, Jack Miller.
I mean, both tibia and fibula, as you know, can be can take a while. The MotoGP boys, typically when they break something, they get onto it really quick. They get the doctors to sort them out. But he just couldn't be right for that first test in Sepang. And you're right, he'll hobble for a little bit. But I spent some time with him in Perth during the off-season at a motor racing event over there. Gee, he's a great character, guys. And he will be, even though he might be in a bit of pain, he will be loving being on that bike again.
Well, he doesn't have to walk. He just has to get on a bike. Come on. No, I'm only joking. Point. I know. They're very, very courageous. Now, onto the F1s. Daniel Ricciardo lost a heap of weight over the summer, and now Red Bull are asking him to drop even more.
Now, I'm not angry at Red Bull about this, but I'm miffed at the system. To think that the modern Formula One cars are at such a point that we need these guys to not be wafer thin, but to be almost at the point where their weight is down and that could affect their endurance. Remember, they're at the wheel for 2 hours in a Grand Prix. I reckon that's wrong. The minimum weight should be such that they're at a good number. They reckon he might have to get to 67 kilos. I mean, if you can lose 5 kilograms, they reckon it's worth about 0.2 seconds. So
67?
Incredible. Yeah, 67.
Remember when you were 67, Chubby? We'll leave you with it, great man. We appreciate it.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by Harvey Norman, the experts in soundbars, making it easier than ever before to find the right solution.